The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Hey, welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy here by myself, by the way. My co-host, as you know, Melissa Mansfield, is on a trek to Chicago to learn about aging to the American Society on Aging, the National Conference on Aging. If you want to learn about aging, this is the largest organization in the United States that studies aging, and she's actually going to the national conference. I was going to go, but Chicago's a little too cold for me this time of year. But anyway, we have a great show today, so we're going to get right into it. One of our new partners in the magazine, Mr. James Carter, is here in Hawaii, and he's opened his new business, and he's an acupuncturist. So when I heard about him, I said, I've been wanting to get an acupuncturist in a magazine. You finally got one. But I also got an experience the other day on his business, and actually did acupuncture on my back. But coincidence as it is, I had a sore back. So James Carter, welcome to Generation. Welcome to Hawaii.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've only been here a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you're originally from?
Portland, Oregon.
Get out of the rain, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm so happy to be here. So appreciative of the sun.
I'll tell you, man, you're going to look like a local boy pretty soon.
I know.
You've been going to the beach, I know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no place in the world like Hawaii. It's truly, you know, very
It really
special.
Is. And you're only a hop, skip, and a jump to the beach where you live near Waikiki, right? Off Kapahulu. But But anyway, welcome to Hawaii and welcome to the magazine. You'll see James's articles every issue from now on in Generations Magazine, starting with our April-May issue coming out in about a month from now, featuring Senator Daniel Kaka, who's going to be talking about kidney disease. And as coincidence as it may be, James Carter, the acupuncturist, actually specializes with patients that have kidney disease and diabetes. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, how interesting. It just fell into place. I've always wanted to know about acupuncture. So the other day, and when you meet James, you're going to get a little bit of a history, a little bit of a lowdown on what acupuncture is, because people always see these big needles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you must think it hurts, right? That's what people must think, right?
Yeah, they do.
It doesn't. It doesn't really hurt at all.
No, absolutely.
Especially if you use the small needles, right?
Yeah. Well, I use the needles that are used in acupuncture are very small. You could probably fit about 10 to 20 of them inside the hole of a Western conventional nurse's needle or
really?
Doctor's needle.
10?
They're very small, smaller than a kitty's whisker.
Wow, interesting. Anyway, James, you know what we always try to do with the magazine is inform people, and you know what AM 690 here, their motto is the answer. Mm-hmm. So I know when we met the other day, I really appreciate and I really like the way you can explain acupuncture. So when people become interested in acupuncture, you always do a great history of how it started. Like I asked you, who started acupuncture, the Japanese or the Chinese?
Yeah.
And the answer is?
The answer is it's still a mystery, actually.
All these years, huh?
All of these years, yeah. There's evidence that the Native Americans had a form of acupuncture called Elatskoa using fractured eagle claws over 3,500 years ago. And also There's evidence that in the Eastern European Alps, there was a form of acupuncture that was being done. They found a iced mummy who had tattoos of the acupuncture points on his body.
Tattoos,
and you can read about it online.
Really?
But so what we know is, you know, the Chinese are really the first to, over 5,000 years ago, write down in a written tradition of the medicine and advance it. But nobody really knows exactly the first origins. But it's over, you know, 5 to 8,000 years old, this form of treatment.
I thought like 500 or 600 years. You said thousands.
No,
years.
Thousands of years.
But yeah. You mentioned something. They documented. That's the reason why people really consider them the founders, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The Native Americans had an oral tradition on their medicine, whereas the Chinese wrote everything down.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm, so it's still accessible to all of us.
So as it went by over the years. Is it kind of combined with overall Chinese medicine with the herbal medications, or I shouldn't use medications, but herbal, what do we call it?
Formulas,
things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to share a little bit about the history of how it came into the West, because, acupuncture being so old, the original books that the medicine was recorded down in about 5,000 years ago are written in a very ancient pictogram style language that very few people know how to read and fewer know how to interpret and understand. Mm. And so, fast forward to 2017, whenever someone is practicing or studying Chinese medicine, they're at the mercy of the translated information that they've received. And so if there's any mistake or a bleep in the translation, then the medicine becomes pedagogically absorbed and therefore then practiced in an incorrect way, in a skewed way. And so that's almost exactly what happened with Chinese medicine coming into the West. So Chinese medicine in about the 1600s came into Europe, and the doctors at that time in Europe, the medicine that was emerging was really a medicine designed to treat acute and emergency health problems. They had a lot of sanitation problems, infections.
Right.
People were dying of the plague, malaria, a lot of warfare, so gunshot wounds, lacerations. So it was really a trauma-based medicine that was emerging in Europe. And the doctors really didn't have an interest or an acknowledgement of about a regenerative or longevity type of medicine like Chinese medicine.
That's interesting, because if you think about it, that's true. People didn't live that long.
Yeah.
And they died right away after. If you got shot, there's no big hospital nearby in the West, right, at that time.
And 20, 25 years was the average life expectancy. Right. Yeah, if that.
Right. Interesting how you put it that way, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, Chinese medicine didn't have those pressures of the kind of needing to treat the traumas and the emergencies. The medicine was developed in the royal courts of China with totally different pressures and understandings. The emperor or the empress of the time would call in the dynasty healers or doctors and basically put them in front of the court and say, I want to live to be, an immortal, over 100 years old. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get pain. I want to be able to have lots and lots of sons and children, and I want my spouse to be very healthy and my generals to be very healthy, and if I don't, then, you're going to have problems. And the emperor was pretty strong with what he said. There it was very much in the doctor's best interest to create a system where they could really promote the health and longevity of the emperor. And so, historically during that time period, the emperors were living 80, 90, there's some evidence that some were living past 100.
Wow.
And so if you look at the other parts of the world during that same historical time period, like in Europe, people were living 20, 25. People are dying of childbirth. And so people didn't have a concept of living, to be an old sage and living healthy all those years. That wasn't even something that crossed their minds. And so the medicine was seen as very foreign to them when it came in, and it wasn't really initially embraced. And so, as time went on, the people who kind of were drawn to Chinese medicine were really kind of like the fringe kind of eccentrics. The metaphysical community was the first to really embrace Chinese medicine. And one gentleman in particular who was a author and a French diplomat named Georges Sully de Morant was really the first to, having traveled through China for about a decade, he spoke fluent Mandarin but didn't speak this classical language. And so this was kind of the pivotal point in Chinese medicine prior to it coming to America, where it was kind of, in a way, driven off a New Age cliff of sorts, where he made some really egregious errors in his translations, and there was no one around really to challenge the translation he made of the Chinese medicine books, and so his translation stuck for a long period of time. And really the errors was translating certain words like qi just as energy, or blood as energy, or these kinds of different phrases, whereas Chinese medicine is actually very scientific, and it's really based on the functioning of blood flow in the body, the quality of the blood, how much oxygen's in the blood, the functioning of the organ systems, functioning of the nervous system. It's based in science, but when it was mistranslated, it sort of became this quasi difficult to understand energy medicine. And so I would say there's probably around 5-10% of acupuncturists today who are practicing from this framework of actually the neoclassical form of Chinese medicine, which is based on the original interpretation of the text and not this diplomat's mistranslation.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah. And when you practice from that framework, the results you're able to achieve, because you're using blood flow dynamic and you're seeing the body as a cardiovascular network and a network of nerves, you can really accomplish some things pretty fast and effectively and treat some of the most serious internal medicine conditions. Hmm.
What got you interested in Chinese medicine and being an acupuncturist?
That's a very long story, but I'll give you the thumbnail version. I was always interested in health growing up, but I had a lot of health issues as a young adult and a young child. And I was kind of the pivotal experience was I was in a car accident at age 17 where the car was totaled, and I had a lot of severe back pain for a couple of years. And for about a year, I was not able really to function.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And so now people looking at me, it's hard. It seems like another lifetime. But at that time period, I had been to a different forms of treatment and kind of out of desperation, because things were helping, but they were not giving me, you know, the lasting effect that
permanent,
I wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted to be back to normal. I wanted to not have any pain. I wanted to be happy. And so I decided to try Chinese medicine and had some really magnificent experiences with that. And it really changed the way I saw my health and what's possible with my body and with, you know, healing. And so I decided to study this.
Oh. So you actually study from Chinese professors?
Uh-huh. Yeah. My professors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say the vast majority of my professors were trained in China, in Chinese medicine hospitals, and they are top clinicians in the field, experts, and they can read and translate the original interpretation of the classical Chinese medical texts.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so this is all in Portland? These professors?
Yeah, some of them were in Portland. Some of them I did a little traveling around the country, because they travel around the world teaching. And so I would join classes that they held around the country, and I'd fly out to see them and study with them.
Wow. You know, the other day when I was meeting with you, we were talking about doing this radio show. I'm sure a lot of you out there listening to this radio show, and we're getting a lot of emails and calls from baby boomers, you know, looking for information for their parents. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a baby boomer myself, and a lot of my cohorts, guys I play golf with, softball with, are all baby boomers, a lot of them. Some are a little older, some are a little younger, but we're all trying to stay healthy. We were golfing the other day, and talking about back problems and, you know, elbow problems, shoulder problems, you name it. It's funny, as you get older, you know, you're still young, but as you get older, you know, when the guys get together, we all talk about what kind of medication you're taking and what are you doing for this. It's quite funny. I don't take any medication, but I'm sure if you're listening to this radio show, and James, I mentioned the other day that when people listen to the radio show, you know, they think, well, maybe I should try this. But what's the first thing that they're going to do? They're going to ask their doctor. Mm-hmm. What would American Western medicine doctors say when you say, well, James, I want to try acupuncture. What do you think a normal doctor says, or how do you handle that objection?
Oh, okay. So I would say acupuncture and Chinese medicine, you do not need your doctor's permission to seek out this kind of care. I'm licensed under the state of Hawaii as a licensed acupuncturist and Chinese medicine practitioner. But it kind of can vary depending on the framework from which the doctor is educated. So there are a lot of really wonderful Western medicine trained doctors that are knowledgeable and understand the value of Chinese medicine and are familiar with it and regularly refer clients and patients for things that are outside of their scope of expertise to an acupuncturist. But there are also certain amount of Western medicine doctors that don't quite understand or of Chinese medicine,
right,
and so are not readily referring clients. But usually that comes from simply a lack of knowledge or experience with Chinese medicine. Keep in mind that a doctor trained in a conventional medicine school does not have any education in Chinese medicine in school, or concepts, or the longitudinal blood flow supply, or these type of concepts of Chinese medicine. And so you know, they have some really great tools in Western medicine, you know, procedures, surgeries, pharmaceuticals that can be very helpful in certain contexts, but it's also that kind of analogy that when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So if you can't necessarily, if there's no pharmaceutical treatment for it or no surgical treatment for it, it's never fair to generalize, but oftentimes they will assume that it's not treatable, and that's just not the case. Many, many, many conditions that Western medicine does not have answers for, or has partial answers for, or just management answers for, Chinese medicine has some really amazing solutions for. So always ask questions. Ask questions and don't be afraid to try something new, because you have nothing to lose. Your health is the most important thing we have, and I really think people embrace that.
Well, I mean, the famous saying from who's the guy from Apple that passed away, Steve Jobs.
Yeah,
he said he's a billionaire. You can have all the cars you want. You can go on any vacation you want, buy an island, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You can't buy health.
You cannot buy health. No, absolutely not.
You can prepare and do acupuncture or physical therapy or swim to stay healthier and eat right, but there's a story about that one personal trainer that's on his TV show about losing weight, and he had a stroke 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the guy is super healthy, but he had a family history of heart disease, So it's really, people don't realize, and that's one thing, I don't want to be a role model, but I definitely take it to heart myself to stay as healthy as possible. But so what are some of the other things that, people can learn about Chinese medicine that's different than Western medicine? What other kind of things that surprise people?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. So I'm just going to backtrack a little bit to finish up that little history, and then it will lead right into that. Going back, we talked about how when Chinese medicine came into Europe, it was not translated correctly. And because there was no one really to challenge the sole translation of the medicine, that translation stuck. And it stuck today. And so, fast forward to it coming to America about 30 years ago, there's, 45 accredited Chinese medicine schools in the country, producing master's and PhDs degrees in this energy meridian mistranslated model of Chinese medicine, which still is helpful and has value, but it's not the full power Chinese medicine that's done when you practice from the original meaning of the medicine. And so that's really something to kind of understand. And if you understand the core roots of what is the main differences between Western medicine, Chinese medicine, you can't really do that unless you know where they were really forged. And from my perspective, Western medicine was forged in Europe during this time period. That's kind of the beginnings of the medicine, and it was a medicine to this day, which is really wonderful and fantastic for treating really the acute and emergency type of conditions. You have an infection, you have a broken bone, you have a car accident. Of course, you go to a hospital and you get treated for that. And there are some, new things that are good for chronic conditions in Western medicine. But I would say Western medicine from this perspective is strongly a trauma-based acute medicine designed to treat those type of issues. Whereas Chinese medicine is really a medicine designed to promote longevity and rejuvenation of the body. And so Chinese medicine is designed to restore the functionality of the body's own system rather than try to replace a function with a pharmaceutical or a machine. So take a condition that I treated, hundreds and hundreds of times in Portland. Let's say hypothyroidism.
What is that?
Which is a weak functioning thyroid. So it's not producing adequate amounts of thyroid hormone, and the person can...
thyroid exactly, was it? They always say by the neck.
It's a butterfly-shaped organ at the neck. And this organ produces thyroid hormone, and just to kind of keep it simple for the viewer's sake, it's produces thyroid hormone, and it has a tremendous amount of functions in the body, in metabolism, in temperature regulation, in blood pressure, and in different functions it has in the body system. And a weak thyroid can lead to weight gain, feeling cold, feeling lethargic, feeling depressed. And so it's a common issue, and how it's treated in Western...
It's because it rains so much in Oregon.
It's common in Hawaii too, believe it or not, because of certain lifestyle and nutrition issues. It's a pretty common condition anywhere these days, unfortunately. But Western medicine, to understand a little bit of an example of difference, is Western medicine would prescribe a pharmaceutical to provide the body with the thyroid hormone that the thyroid's no longer making. And so that's an allopathic way of prescribing something. An organ system is not producing what it should be producing and not functioning in the correct way. So we give the body a drug to make up for that functioning. Chinese medicine would operate on a totally different principle. Rather than trying to give the body something to appease the expression in a blood test, right? We're trying to regulate a hormone so it shows up properly on a blood test. So that has value. But Chinese medicine would be trying to restore the functional physiology of the system itself. Mm. So I have had many, many clients with hypothyroidism who were able to come off of their thyroid medications completely after a few months with the advice of their doctor. Of course, if you never go off a medication without talking to your doctor first. But I was working with their doctor very closely, and we would monitor the levels. And sure enough, you know, within about 3 months, the levels sustained themselves and the person was able to come off the medication. And so...
is it safe to say the thyroid kind of controls a lot of what's going on in your body, right?
It definitely has...
The weight gain, they say, something like that?
Yeah, it has a lot of roles in the body. Thyroid hormone is implicated in all sorts of functions, and it's an assistant organ to many different things. So, Chinese medicine views it slightly differently than Western medicine, but that's an example that really illustrates where Chinese medicine has the ability to restore the functioning of the system itself, where Western medicine would just appease it by giving it a pharmaceutical for the rest of your life, which carries other types of effects.
It's interesting. Yeah. So you say you did your regular studies in medicine, or you did your regular college degree, and then you got a postgraduate degree?
Yeah. So I did my undergraduate degree in health sciences in Portland, and I minored in neuropsychology, and then I did my graduate degree in acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and then I did postgraduate training in internal medicine diseases, advanced diagnosis, and herbal prescription and advanced acupuncture. So I spent a couple years postgraduate studying.
Wow, that's great. You're so young.
Yeah.
I'd love to learn more, because we want to talk about how it helps kidney disease, how with diabetes. We also want to how to treat pain, because that's one thing, we always got pain. But anyway, we're going to take a short break. We're here with James Carter, our local acupuncturist in Generations Magazine. Then we'll get you information later on how do people get to hold of you. You're going to be writing an article very soon. So anyway, I'm Percy here with Generations Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to A Medicare Moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
The name to remember for primary health care in Hawaii is Dr. Jeffrey Lin, board-certified family physician with over 20 years' experience and a special interest in taking care of senior citizens. He's now located in the Kuakini Medical Plaza. And from now to the end of March, Dr. Lin is offering free flu shots to protect you and your family this flu season. To schedule an appointment, please call 824-0411 or log into mdhonolulu.com. Dr. Jeffrey Lin, Healthcare for the whole family at mdhonolulu.com.
I was an addict from the age of 13. I finally decided it was time for a change. I walked into the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center, and that got me ready for the real world. Now, I choose to be guided by Jesus Christ, and today, I'm building a powerful and promising future, free from drugs and alcohol.
Please shop at the Salvation Army Family Stores. With our discounted sales, your support through your purchase helps men live a clean, sober, and productive life.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. Don't forget, we're here every Saturday from 5 to 6, Sunday from 3 to 4. I did want to mention a couple things. The March issue, February March issue is out with Jeff Apaka. It's interesting, you know, James, we have people almost every day, somebody goes, oh yeah, Jeff's my friend, or hey, my friend, I just golfed him yesterday. He signed a magazine for him. It was kind of cute. But thank you, Jeff, for being on our cover story. And you sing better than your dad. Don't worry about that. I mean, you guys know Alfred Apaka, the voice of Hawaii. But Jeff's got a great singer, too. And Jeff does a lot of work with Waikiki Community Center. He might be a good patient for you. You know, he's getting older, you know, Jeff. I mean, he still looks young. But anyway, thank you, Jeff. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the magazine. We have, our mobile physical therapist, Kai, and also the nurse practitioner that does mobile as well. You can come to your office, come to your son's school if you need to have your son looked at, Steve. So check that out. That's House Call Medical. He's in the magazine. New facility opened up in Kapolei, Ilima at Lehano. It's a new, brand spanking new facility on Kapolei, and also on Kalakaua Avenue, a brand spanking new place too, the Kalakaua Gardens. So check those guys out, because I'm telling you, we're all going to need a place to stay at some point. As well, new in a magazine, I haven't been there yet. I better go call them up. Anyway, the Hawaii Prince Hotel, right on the water by Alawai Harbor, is a new restaurant that converted. It's called 100 Sails, and it's a beautiful renovated restaurant. Hopefully I can be able to get there pretty soon, because I love to eat, as you guys know. But anyway, Diane Cadena, in our last one, in our December issue, if you get to check that out, Exercise for a Better Body Functionality, George there and his wife. But George is in his 60s, he's in his 70s, and he has some health issues, and he's been working out with Diane. So in that December issue, and the reason why I say that is because you can go to our website, generations808.com, and click on past issues, and you can read all our past issues for the very first issue with Kirk Matthews in there in 2010, and to the Governor Abercrombie, who's no longer governor, obviously, we found out just yesterday that Jim Burns passed away. He was on our cover 2 years ago with his wife, Emmy. So my condolences to Emmy and the family. You know, we're all going to pass away someday. If you've been following the news and reading the paper, you know, we'll get your opinion later on, James, but death with dignity. You're from Oregon, right? Oregon has it passed, the law. Washington, Connecticut, I believe. Colorado passed it last year. California passed it last year. Washington, D.C. Passed it. And hopefully Hawaii
you know, when they decide at our legislature in the next couple of months to decide whether to pass that bill or not as well. So it's just interesting. You know, we're all going to, you know, go on in life in some day, and we need to be thinking about the reality of that. So we need to think about those kind of issues and talk to your kids, talk to your spouses, talk to your cousins, aunties, about how you want to end your life. And at some point, we all will. Hopefully, it's voluntarily, you know. But it's all going to happen. I have several friends of mine. Their aunties passed away, uncles passed away, and it's painful, but it's going to happen. I like to joke about it because we're all going to pass on. Hopefully, we go the way we want to go. Mm-hmm. You know, not in the ICU. Hopefully, with family and friends around you. But it's just, it's amazing. A good friend of mine passed away last month, 50 years old, from pancreatic cancer. He found out 6 months. Can you imagine? You can find out you have pancreatic cancer, and 6 months later, you're gone. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So, yeah. Anyway, we're here with James Carter. New to Hawaii, is a acupuncturist. And can I say you're an herbalist as well? What's the term you use when you're an herbalist, where you have a whole wall of medicines, Chinese herbs and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And you actually mix them together. And I'm sorry, I didn't put that lotion on my hand yet. I didn't have time. I golfed yesterday. I don't want to get all sweaty. And like you said, it's kind of, the medicine's good, but it was smell or stain or something like that?
Well, certain medicines, that some of those herbs will stain yellow. So just
stain.
You know, if you have white sheets or couch, you might just
okay.
Be a
little
careful.
Little what do you call that? Little
abrasion.
Abrasion on my wrist here, my hand, the back of my hand. It's been there for about a month and a half now. I can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know. But so James gave me this
take
little
care of it.
Herb medicine that he mixed concoction to put on my hand. I'll do it today. But anyway, with James Carter, our acupuncturist, he's coming in the April, May issue, and he's been writing articles about acupuncture and Chinese medicine and all that. And I love this stuff because I don't want to take medicine.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you a story, but a couple of years ago, I had shoulder surgery twice. And the second time I went for shoulder surgery, I was getting, they're prepping me and everything to go and get surgery. And the nurse goes, "What kind of medications are you taking?" I said, "I don't take any medication." "Oh, you must be taking medications." I said, "I'm taking glucosamine and antioxidant, vitamin C." And she goes, "No, medicine." I said, "I'm sorry, I don't take anything. But can I ask why you asked me that?"
Yeah.
And I think I was 54, 55 at the time. She goes, "Oh, well, almost everybody over 50 takes medicine, some kind of medication."
Oh, my goodness.
I said, "Really?" I said, "Wow." And you know what? She's right. I was golfing. I was having dinner with a friend of mine. He's a chef. I said, "By the way, are you taking any medication?" And he's like, 52. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I am." I said, "Really?" And I'll tell you, at least 60% of people that I know over 50 take some form of medication.
It's true. It's unfortunate, but it's kind of the current state of our healthcare system. There's very little financial incentive to cure something. If you can manage something by taking a medication for years or decades, that's a multi-trillion dollar pharmaceutical industry. If you can resolve something, like let's say type 2 diabetes, put the person on insulin for the rest of their lives, or you can change their nutrition and they lose weight and their blood sugar regulates, you know, they're not going to be purchasing all those medications and all that medical care. So what's the incentive? Unfortunately, that's not a bash on any of the physicians, but the pharmaceutical model is not really set up to cure. It's set up to manage. So, it's very important people are aware of that so they can be empowered to make the changes to, you know, make sure they're the optimum health. So then they're not, you know, they think everyone's good. By the time someone's over 45, you need to be at least on medications. Or people will come to me and they're on a dozen medications, 15, 20 different medications. It's insane. It's like, that's not health. Health is feeling vital and alive, and there is a place for medications, but I would say many, many, many things can be prevented and avoided with, you know, proper lifestyle and nutrition and healthcare, and acupuncture is a great way to also boost health and
energy.
Education, and absolutely give you energy and vitality and all of these things. Very important. And so it's not just creating a state where you're just feeling okay or managing a condition. You want to feel radiantly healthy.
Right. I always tell my friends, you know, if you're having some mobility issues or you're a sore shoulder at 50, how are you going to be at 60? and 70. It's gonna get worse.
It is. It is.
You know, and you don't want to have surgery at 70. That's why I got my surgery early on, because I wanted to still be active and play golf and softball. But I tell my friends, you know, you just got to get it done. You got to do it, because it's only gonna get worse if you don't do anything.
Right? Well, can I share a story with you about I had a client who had very severe shoulder pain and frozen shoulder, their right shoulder. This was in Portland about 7-8 months ago. And it had been going on for over 20 years. Can you imagine living with shoulder pain and restricted mobility in a joint for 20 years? And this is, he was in his 60s and had never heard of Chinese medicine or wasn't familiar with acupuncture. And his wife insisted that he come in. And so he came in three times. And within two treatments, his shoulder mobility improved 60%.
Wow.
By the third treatment, his pain was 90% better.
Really?
Got his mobility back. His wife was crying. He was crying. They came and gave me a big hug. It was one of the most gratifying moments. And in that case, you know, when you think about it, there's not really a modality in Western medicine other than, you know, certain medications and certain massage and physical therapy and things, but not to the degree that Chinese medicine can vasodilate or push blood flow and nutrient flow and therefore oxygen flow into a restricted area or an inflamed area, like a joint or a muscle that's very tight and inflamed. The more you move that around, the more that it's agitated, the longer it goes on, the body starts to create adhesions around that area. But with the acupuncture, you are pushing blood flow into that area. You're relaxing the nerves. You're relaxing the muscles. You allow the body to heal. You're removing kind of the tourniquet that's restricting the blood flow from going in. And then the body, you know, heals. The body heals through the blood flow.
Really the key to blood flow, isn't that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you think about it, let's say you had a paper cut on your finger. You don't have to consciously tell your body, heal this paper cut, right? Your body's naturally just going to, the area's going to get a little red. The body's going to push blood flow in there. It's going to push the immune cells, the oxygen. All the healing prowess of the body occurs through the blood. It pushes it in there, and then it heals it up. And the same goes for any chronic condition. Any chronic condition is seen as a restriction in blood flow, and therefore oxygen flow, and therefore nutrient flow. And so if you have, you know, a chronic illness would be like having a paper cut, but now you have a rubber band around your finger, so the blood flow can't get into the area of the paper cut to heal it. And acupuncture in Chinese medicine is like snipping off that rubber band so the body can release the blood flow into that area and heal things. Mm-hmm. And so that's how, you know, I use Chinese medicine to treat heart disease very effectively. I use it to treat things like Alzheimer's, dementia, kidney disease. You know, I've helped hundreds and hundreds of people avoid things like surgeries, years of physiotherapy, things like that with acupuncture treatment. A few months of acupuncture for some of these severe chronic pains, all you need. It's not to say if someone has a tear in their tendon or their joint or a broken bone or something like that, obviously, yes, they do need a surgery. They do need these types of things. But I would say 90% of these chronic pains and joint issues can be treated extremely well by Chinese medicine and acupuncture, so much so that they can avoid a lot of headache and hassle and some of the more invasive procedures by trying these first.
So there's a couple, three areas I wanted to talk about. We're here with James Carter, our local acupuncturist, and I'm coming in April, May issue of Generations Magazine. We're talking about acupuncture. So three areas. I want to talk about, how does it treat pain? How does it help with memory? And then lastly, kidney disease. So first, how does acupuncture treat pain?
Okay. So that has several different explanations. Chinese medicine, acupuncture in particular, is the modality of Chinese medicine that's most often used to treat physical conditions, like structural conditions of the body. So joints, muscles, body tissue, acupuncture is usually the modality for that. Circulation issues. Herbal medicine is the modality that's used to treat kind of internal medicine issues, those two. And so when it comes to treating pain, you asked, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when it comes to treating pain, it works on a couple different levels. So we'll just go through those. So when you're inserting an acupuncture needle, you are stimulating a nerve in the body. You're stimulating a nerve ending. You're stimulating the tissues and the fascia. And so by doing that, you create a cascade of reactions in the body. Mm-hmm. You almost trigger the body to believe that it, you know, was somehow injured in a way. And so you stimulate the body's own innate healing function. You stimulate that intrinsic mechanism that creates a healing reaction to regulate things. So with the proper placement of acupuncture points, you can create a prescription for someone to create a healing reaction for all sorts of issues. Acupuncture also works on it's vasodilatory. So when, you know, someone has, let's say someone has knee pain in their left knee. Well, I may put some needles actually in their right elbow, not even in their knee. I may not even put the needles in the knee because the nervous system is holographically oriented. It's almost like, have you ever seen a hallway of mirrors, how the mirrors go on infinitely? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of put a needle in is like knocking down the first domino, and then you create a whole cascade of dominoes starting to fall over in the body. So you create a whole healing reaction. And so that's kind of the thumbnail version of how it works. There's obviously, you know, it releases enkephalins, endorphins, dopamine, positive neurochemicals, gives you a little bit of a runner's high. People often find that they feel very elated and very happy and peaceful after an acupuncture treatment. Their body feels looser. They feel nice and warm, tingly. It's all because you're stimulating the body's own intrinsic healing forces. And, you know, I would say with most chronic pains, within about 30 to 60 seconds of inserting acupuncture needle, the person will have a dramatic decrease in the pain level.
And that's because the blood flow is finally getting through.
Exactly.
A blockage or something.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You're tripping that proprioceptive signal into the midbrain that's creating that restriction in the muscle, that's creating the tight muscle, and you're releasing that. So the body naturally releases that. When it releases the tight area, the blood flow increases. The little microveins, microvasculature, vasodilates, the area is flooded with nice, warm, oxygenated, nutritious blood, and then that starts the healing process.
And that's really what starts the healing process, is getting blood flow into the system, into the area.
Exactly, exactly. So trying to increase blood flow. Any chronic conditions, you take Alzheimer's, you take heart disease, you take liver disease, you take tennis elbow, you take shoulder disease, knee problem, whatever. It's all of it. You can always trace it back to a problem with blood flow. If you can improve the blood flow and stimulate that area to heal, then the body will heal it. I really do believe that.
Yeah, so with regard to increased memory with Alzheimer's and those kind of things, so how does acupuncture help? Because my understanding is that once you have early signs, it's really hard to stop it or slow it down.
No, that's not.
So I know the Western medicine will tell you just that, but so from a Chinese medicine point of view or acupuncture's point of view, are there studies out there that have been done how it helps? Because you had mentioned to me that blood flow really is a lot of lack of blood flow to the brain, right?
Yes. So it's a great question. There are studies out there. Most of them are in Chinese. Most of them are from China. You have to keep in mind that it's a newer medicine to the States. So mm-hmm. It's only been in the States for about 30 years. And because acupuncture is so individualized, it's very rare that the same protocol is ever done once. And everyone is at different stages in their, you know, process. Let's say someone comes in, you said, with Alzheimer's. Okay, when someone comes in to see me with Alzheimer's, I can give you an example. I had a gentleman come into my office, and he had Alzheimer's, was not talking, was not speaking. His wife was very worried about him. He had the diagnosis. He was in a clinical trial with Western medicine, which was not helping, and so they ended that trial. It was a new pharmaceutical to see if they could slow it down. They were kind of out of options, and so they came in wanting to see if I could do anything for them to help. And so what I did was we used a combination of acupuncture and then herbal formula. The herbal formula is designed to stimulate the body's production of dopamine, serotonin, the neurochemicals. And then we used acupuncture. We actually did some acupuncture on the feet. That is actually the most powerful area to treat that area, because if you think about it, the nervous system, mm-hmm. you want to go to the farthest reaching end of the nervous system from the area of the problem. So dementia on scans and things like that, it's oftentimes a buildup of plaque in the brain.
Right.
Buildup of plaque in the brain, a decrease in blood flow and atrophy of the brain tissue. And so all of those things from a Chinese medicine perspective are seen as a restriction of blood flow, oxygen flow, and nutrient flow. Because if that area has proper circulation, then that area is not going to build up plaque, right? Mm-hmm. An area builds up plaque if the circulation is restricted, if the blood quality is poor, if these kinds of things from, you know, aging, from environmental toxins, all these different factors. And so, you use certain areas and nerves on the feet and the legs to stimulate the blood flow into the brain.
Right.
And in this instance, the person was not talking for about a year. After doing this, it was about the sixth treatment, the person started talking again. This individual started talking again. And the face was, and you can see the blood flow changes while he's laying on the table. You know, the head and the scalp, because the person didn't have any hair, it was quite pale. The head and the scalp, from my perspective, that's a blood flow problem. After doing the needle protocol while he was on the table, now all of a sudden, the scalp and the head start turning red. And then he starts speaking. Yeah, and then his wife, of course, you know, was very emotional, and I was just so touched by this. And he started telling us the story about how they met, and you know how it was a really beautiful story. And came in, gave me a big hug, and I think that we were able to slow it down significantly, and actually give him a quality of life, because when there's Alzheimer's, there's often that element of, you know, fear. The person doesn't know what's going on, and so they're really they're worried and they're nervous. Like, what is happening? I'm losing touch with reality. I don't remember who my loved one is. It's very painful. It's painful for the loved ones around them. It's painful for the person. So, you know, to have another option, not just surgery or not just drugs, you know, to share that with people, you know, no one knows that Chinese medicine can treat this in the West. You wouldn't be surprised. I tell people that I've had this experience using Chinese medicine, that there's solutions. You can slow it down. You can give the person better quality of life. You can help them. People don't know. People are shocked. But it really is a wonderful option for people. So,
there's so many commercials out there where all these pharmaceutical companies selling all these drugs, right? Talk to your doctor about this and that. And they got a drug for everything today.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're absolutely right. I just went online when you told me that there's research studies online. There are actually a lot of articles online about how acupuncture can help Alzheimer's, even Parkinson's, you know. But you're right. I have three of my friends that they don't, their mother doesn't recognize their grandkids. It's very sad. I don't know if that point would help, but I definitely think you would try that. You know, that'd probably be your second article.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah. So the first article we talked about that, we have Senator Dan Akaka coming in our April, May issue. He is supporting the Kidney Foundation of Hawaii. They're building a new facility out in Kapolei on the west side. He's actually dedicated a room to him. But so how does acupuncture help with kidney disease and diabetes?
Mm-hmm. So that's a great question. Those are two of the biggest health problems in America right now, and in Hawaii as well. So let's start with diabetes. So diabetes, it depends on if it's type 1 or type 2, right? So there's two different types of diabetes.
Right.
Actually, there's three. There's gestational type of diabetes, but that's kind of more rare. So let's just keep it to type 1 and type 2. So type 1 is when someone is born and their pancreas doesn't produce any insulin, or they're born without a pancreas. Yeah. And those people do need to be on insulin. Right now, there's no other than a transplant, which is kind of a little bit difficult.
Right.
There's not much that can be done for actually rebooting their own pancreas and getting that to work, because they don't have one or it doesn't work, right?
Right.
However, they can take insulin and they can still, in my opinion, live very good quality of life. And Chinese medicine can really, really help these people, because in Western medicine, it's seen as just axiomatic. By the time these people get 30, 40, 50, they're going to have vision problems. They're going to have neuropathies and have all these problems. No, all those things are very well treated by Chinese medicine, practiced in a correct way from this type of perspective. And something like neuropathies, that's very well treated by Chinese medicine and acupuncture. To date, I have not had a case of neuropathy I couldn't help. So that's what can be done for people with type 1 diabetes. Quality of life, prevention of secondary complications from diabetes. And then type 2 is really, in general, a lifestyle type of diabetes,
right,
where it develops from, you know, poor diet, obesity, lack of exercise. Sometimes genetics is a factor, but usually it's mostly lifestyle. It's poor diet and lack of exercise and being overweight.
Right.
And that is something that is very, very, very well treated by Chinese medicine. First of all, someone already has a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, we can dramatically improve their energy level, reduce signs of neuropathy, work on trying to improve circulation for their vision, And then, of course, nutritional counseling.
It says circulation for the vision.
Uh-huh, yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, so there's certain points and protocols on the body that can be used to improve circulation into the eye. So with diabetes, if the sugars are too high, right, then any area with little microvasculature can start to get, I mean, it's more complicated than this, but basically that gets kind of clogged, right? And then you can get damage because the circulation gets congested and stuck. And so acupuncture, you stimulate the blood flow and then you decrease the inflammation and the area vasodilates so you can clear out and flush out these blockages. And so that's what Chinese medicine, it can make a big difference. So you can think of it like the nerve endings. So that's why the fingers or the toes and the eyes are most affected first, because those are the areas that carry the most, and the reproductive organs that carry the tiniest microvasculature. Those are the areas that people can actually develop the first kind of signs and symptoms of diabetes, although that's also happening internally, but obviously we don't have sensory nerves internally. So by the time that it's gotten around to the fingers, you can bet that there's been some damage to the organs. So that can improve as a result of Chinese medicine. But obviously nutritional counseling is really important. Giving someone the tools to be able to eat correctly, to balance their sugars, to lose weight, helping them exercise. I prescribe Tai Chi and Qigong for people. I teach them how to do it so they can do the stretches to maintain their health and all of these types of things. And then herbal medicine is a great way to help a person. You can normalize their blood sugar. Because, I mean, I've had hundreds of people come to me with diabetes who are on insulin that I've been able to either they've been able to come off of their insulin completely, or they've been able to come down on it significantly as a result of making the changes and losing the weight and changing their lifestyle. Of course, there's some cases where, yes, the person needs to remain on their medication and different things, but we can always work on improving the quality of life and, getting rid of neuropathies and things like that. Acupuncture is fantastic for those things. Yeah.
So, James, we got a couple more minutes to go, but I wanted to make sure before I forget, because we're gonna, I always forget to do that. how do we get a hold of you? What's the best way to get a hold of you? Your website, your phone number?
Sure. So, my name's James Carter, and my phone number is 503-853-2866.
That's an Oregon number, but he's living here now.
Well, I have clients all around the country who consult with me for herbal medicine, so it didn't make sense to change it.
Yeah.
My website is Luna, L-U-N-A, acupuncture, A-C-U-P-U-N-C-T-U-R-E, wellness, wellness.com. LunaAcupunctureWellness.com. And again, my phone number is 503-853-2866.
But your office is down in Kapahulu, right?
Yeah, my office is between Kapahulu and Diamond Head. It's located in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a convenient location.
Yeah, I've been there, guys. He's got a nice little setup there. I like your little wall of all your herbal stuff that you do mixing. What do you need?
Fun.
Okay, here. But, James, I appreciate the time. You know, I gotta do my back again.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good, but I mean, I don't like to play sports hurt at all. I want to be 100%. So I think everybody should be like that way. But thank you very much.
We're looking forward
to get that article in the next April May issue of Generations Magazine. We'll have to have you come back on. We'll talk about all the different items that acupuncture can really help. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Well, first time for radio, right? James Carter, acupuncture is here. Check us out, or you can go on his website, LunaAcupunctureWellness.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay, everybody, have a great weekend. Aloha, and live well.